The idea is, repeated Benson to Eric as Eric fed slivers of celery through the wire to his huge rabbit. The idea is that you write down a list in your very best handwriting and then send it up the chimney. What happens after that? Asked Eric, who now that the celery had gone was pushing his finger through the wire. The rabbit nipped him. Serves you right for not listening to me, asserted Benson. You pay too much attention to that fat rabbit. My dad says that there are people starving all over the place, and all you can do is feed that overfed creature perfectly good food. What happens when the letter gets to the top of the chimney? Eric asked, frowning at his finger. Well, when the letter gets to the top, an angel collects it and delivers it to the North Pole in the blinking of an eye. Then it's given to Father Christmas, and he goes round his ice palace collecting the order. Then he delivers it on Christmas Eve. Eric nodded. There is a hitch, though, added Benson, for whom everything in life had a hitch. You've got to be a good boy. That may be difficult in your case. I am a good boy. Benson gave Eric the quizzical look he had learnt from Sister Paul of the Cross at the convent school he attended. If you're such a good boy, how come I saw you riding your fairy cycle on the pavement the other day? And how come God let you be born a Methodist instead of a Catholic? Sister Paul of the Cross says that anyone who says they're a good boy better watch out. The avenging angel is oiling his wings to swoop down and test your mettle. Eric stared back at Benson blankly, the nearest he ever got to a real protest. He decided to change the subject. Do you think I should write my address on the letter to Father Christmas? Well, it can't do any harm, but Father Christmas is Saint Nicholas, and saints don't need addresses. Both boys adjourned to their respective dining room tables to compose a winning letter to Father Christmas. Benson could hardly wait for Mum to light the fire in the evening. As the December light faded, he shivered pointedly once or twice, and when this had no effect, he sidled up on the subject by mentioning how cold it was for the time of year. This, too, failed, and Benson decided to take a direct approach. "Mum, don't you say another word," snapped Mum.
"I only said Mum, Mum,"
murmured Benson.
"And no cheek either, young man," snapped Mum back. "I know exactly what you want. You want the fire on so that you can send letters to Father Christmas up the chimney."
"How did you know?"
"Eric's mum says that Eric has been slaving away over his Christmas letter all afternoon. You know he's a bit slow with his writing, poor little mite."
That was typical of Eric, Benson thought. He just could not keep anything under his hat. In that, Eric was very different from Benson. Benson kept a great deal under his hat, a great deal more than fitted comfortably. Sometimes his secrets gave him a headache. Benson, seeing that there was nothing to be gained by pleading, beat a hasty retreat and passed the time by rereading his shopping list to Father Christmas. He went over the blue writing with a green crayon to make sure it would stand out and catch Father Christmas's eye straight off. Had he asked for too much, he wondered. No, he did not think so. He deserved a good stack of presents after all the sacrifices he had made this year. What other boy of 9 had given up sweets for the whole of Lent? Who else had accepted the slings and arrows of outrageous teachers without complaint? Had one other human being in the whole history of the world posted his pocket money, every penny of it, on at least 4 occasions, into the black baby box chained to the life-sized crucifix at the back of English Martyrs Church? Benson felt strongly that the approach of Christmas heralded the payoff for all his good deeds during the year. He did not doubt for a moment that a gaggle of messenger angels would fly straight off to Father Christmas. He perused his 2-tone Christmas list again. A fairy cycle. Well, that was hardly a luxury. With a fairy cycle, he would be able to run messages for Mum more efficiently. He would also save her a fortune in bandages and Dettol,
resulting from wounds to his knee caused by banging against the handlebars of his absurdly little tricycle. The Davy Crockett hat. And that was necessary, too. He could not gain admittance to Sean O'Shea's gang without a Davy Crockett hat. Yes, that was as necessary as a cap for a cub. The Meccano set, too. The one you could build Blackpool Tower out of. He had to have that. It would help him learn all kinds of skills, and with those skills he would get a wonderful job and keep Mum in a manner to which she was unaccustomed. He would take her to see the Pope in Rome and have her groceries delivered from the posh grocer's shop that Mrs. Ellis went to. A double Lilo, Benson managed to justify because it was less selfish than a single one. With a double Lilo airbed, he would be able to offer rides to less fortunate friends at the baths. No, there was nothing on the list that could be interpreted as a luxury. Benson chewed on his crayon. Then, on the spur of the moment, he added, "A surprise." Later in the evening, when Mum had found time to light the fire, Benson went next door to Eric's. He knocked at the door, and Eric's Mum answered. "Is Eric in, please, Mrs. Jenkins?" asked Benson. "I'll get him for you," she replied. Eric appeared, carrying his letter and looking up at the smoke billowing out of Benson's chimney. The Jenkins family only had an electric fire with coals that looked as though they were burning hot, but weren't. Benson had often pestered Mum and Dad to get one like that, but so far they had resisted. "Come on, then," commanded Benson. The two boys approached the fire in the lounge with their letters. "What have you written?" Benson asked. "Mind your own business," Eric replied, mounting a rare rebellion. "I didn't want to know anyway, Eric. Who cares what you've asked for? A doll's house, I shouldn't wonder." "I have not," said Eric. "Let's see, then." "No." And Eric started to fold his piece of paper. "You can't do that. It'll never get up the chimney if you fold it." "Yes, but you'll look." "No, I won't, I promise," lied Benson, crossing his fingers. "Uncross your fingers and say that." Benson did so, but still Eric did not believe him. "I want you to go outside while I put my paper up the chimney," said Eric. "Oh, all right. I'll push mine up first, and then I'll go outside. I don't mind you seeing what I've asked for, though. Look." Eric looked, but did not seem overly impressed. There was something odd about Eric today. He was just not his usual slight, easily manipulated self at all. Without more ado, Benson lay his piece of paper over the fire and gave it a deft flick. The draft took the paper, drifting out of sight and up the chimney. He could hear it scrape against the sides of the flue. Some soot dropped back into the grate. "There. It's gone. Halfway to the North Pole by now, I shouldn't wonder," said Benson proudly. "It's certainly got a head start on yours, Eric. If I were you, I'd get yours launched straight away. Or you may be too late." "Well, go out, then." Benson gave Eric his most severe, "I am a Catholic while you are a mere Methodist" look, and left the lounge without another word. In the hall, he filled in the time of waiting by reaching up and opening the door of the cuckoo clock. The cuckoo came out and bent towards him, but did not make its ding-uku sound, as it did when left to come out at the right time. At last, Eric emerged. "Did you manage it?" Benson asked, hoping that Eric would have to abjectly request his assistance. "Yes, thank you," replied Eric, now more his usual pliant self. Benson had not expected to be thanked for his services and gave Eric a smile. He even managed to forgive him for his peculiar secrecy. The next morning was a Saturday. A snowdrift pile of Christmas cards lay on the doormat of Benson's house. Benson picked them up and took them in to Mum. "Good Lord," said Mum when she saw the pile. "I hope I've sent cards to everyone who sent one to us." "But you haven't," said Benson helpfully.
He knew that Mum kept a store of spare cards to be sent off in a hurry to anybody who sent the Bensons one, but whom the Bensons had forgotten. And, true to form, Benson was half an hour later pedalling up the avenue on the tricycle he had grown out of some years before. He carried 6 hastily written cards in the little basket on the front. He returned, puffed, wondering what to do next. Boredom sat on his shoulder and sighed into his ear. So he crashed his tricycle into the garage door and mooned into the back garden, where he deadheaded a few flowers with a garden cane. Then he saw a piece of paper lying on the grass. One of its edges was burnt. He approached it, a feeling of great trepidation aching into him. Could it be that the angel had failed to pick up his Christmas list? Could it be? No, he thought. It must be Eric's list. It had to be. After all, Eric was a Methodist. If one of the 2 papers had been rejected by the angel, it would have to be Eric's, wouldn't it? Benson stood frozen in front of the paper, gazing down at it. He felt himself to be at the crossroads. The rejected request, was it his or Eric's, would tell on whose side the angels stood. Once and for all, he would know on whom God smiled. What if it were his letter? After much jiggling about and many prayers, Benson knelt down to pick up the paper. His heart was beating in his head as he raised the paper and turned it over to reveal Eric's childish scrawl. He was about to feel great self-satisfaction, but then he found himself reading what Eric had written. Make Mum get better. Thank you very much, Eric. Is Mrs. Jenkins sick, Mum? Yes, son. You must offer up some prayers for her. You've noticed how thin she is. Yes. It's cold today, isn't it, Mum? Could we light the fire? Surprisingly, Mum did not refuse, but obediently trailed the gas poker from its source in the morning room, and soon the fire in the lounge was burning warmly. Benson shut the lounge door, took Eric's paper out of his pocket, unfolded it, and placed it over the fire. He prayed as hard as he could, and flicked it up the chimney, calling on all the angels and saints to help him as he did so. The paper made its second journey up the chimney, and Benson continued to pray as he went out to the front and looked up at the chimney. There was no sign of the note. He searched all round to see if it had floated back down to the ground, untaken by angels. He searched everywhere, until he came to the part of the back garden on which the sun never shone. There, in the corner by the small shed where Benson never ventured, lay a white sheet of paper. He did not hesitate. He felt angry and let down. How dare God not help Eric, he thought. How dare he not? He picked up the paper, turned it over, and read. A fairy cycle? A Meccano set, a double Lilo, a Davy Crockett hat, a surprise. Benson looked at the letter for several long moments. Then he looked up at the slate December sky and made silent pleas that surprised even him, pleas that turned to hard bargaining and gave him a sudden pain. Then he tore up his letter to Father Christmas into very little pieces.